Good afternoon. I'm happy you are still here. I mean, postprandial meeting, so that's always challenging. First of all, I have something to disclose. I work for Chemonics International, which is the organization that is implementing the project that I'm going to talk about in Bangladesh. So before I get there, and with this as a background, I'm pretty sure that every time you hear the word Bangladesh, you imagine perhaps the most poor corner of this planet. Totally hopeless, nothing to do about it, and perhaps that was a reality some 50 years back. For the last 10 years, Bangladesh has experienced an incredible transformation. I'm really happy to be there, just because it is kind of witnessing a lot of things that are happening, a lot of positive things that are happening. And far away from a place where it's absolutely hopeless, there's tremendous amount of hope. Still, it's a poor country. Perhaps it has a GDP per capita of $500. 50% or a little bit more than 50% of the population lives on less than $1.25 a day, I mean €1 a day. That's bad. That's pretty bad. Still, maternal mortality is an issue. There's debate whether it's 320 or 570. So there's the government and the UN agencies fighting about the numbers. But the truth is that within this context, Bangladesh has already received recently, I'm pretty sure that you were following the news, Bangladesh was acknowledged publicly, internationally, because it achieved the MGD4 goals. So the country is going in the right direction. However, this is where I get in. In Bangladesh, the sources of healthcare for a country of this nature, I mean, we have defined that it's the majority of the population still lives under one, less than €1 a day. Access to healthcare is a big issue. It's a very big issue. The main source of services, of healthcare services, you define them the way you want, is the private sector. Only 14% of services provided in country are provided by the government. The rest of services are pretty much a caveat emptor. Do whatever you can in order to get your services provided. Now, this condition is pretty much the same across quintiles. You can see that, and it's amazingly similar. Now, that you can see here. So that private sector for the poor is different from the private sector for the richest quintile. The private sector for the poor is basically non-traditional healthcare providers. And by non-traditional, we mean people who does not necessarily have access to knowledge that we have had for the last 120 years, right? So that it could explain a lot of things here. A place for safe delivery for the poor. Only 1.4% of the poor have access to or deliver in a healthcare facility. That percentage is much higher, still small, but much higher for the highest quintile at 34%. So that is what we have there. So in terms of family planning, again, here what we have is that 50% of the services are provided by the public sector, 50% provided by the private sector. So why I want to bring your attention to this is because the Constitution of the Social Republic of Bangladesh specifically states that every Bangladeshi has the access to healthcare. So that is we're talking about terms of reality here, right? Okay, so within this context, USAID have been providing support to the healthcare service delivery in Bangladesh for the last 20 some years. It all started with family planning, it evolved, now it's primary healthcare. Around 2007, USAID said, well, we have gained certain maturity here. Let's see if we can set up a social franchising that allow us to continue providing support to this and to the service delivery programs here, but without not too much financial burden on USAID. So when designing the project, the idea was to have three core principles. These are the three core principles. Basically, expand access to quality healthcare. Simultaneously, to ensure that at least 30% of those who come to the clinics or to the network are poor. And at the same time, the idea is to increase, and here's the double bottom line, to increase financial sustainability. This is I'm talking about jiggling a little bit here. Now, the important thing here is that Smiling Sun is complementing the GOB services, is helping the government of Bangladesh to achieve its health and social objectives. It's not in competition, it's just helping it to happen. So now the project faced from the onset certain challenges. Well, first of all, it was required that the project would generate a huge change in this network in a short period of time. We're talking about 4 years here. Now, at the same time, we were working with a network of organizations that for the last 25 years had been receiving financial support from donors. And now they're being told, hey, you know what? Donations are perhaps coming to an end. You'll have to start looking on your for your sustainability on your own. That is a great background for a good conversation. The other was building ownership, as you were saying. I mean, what Bella and Habib mentioned about building ownership was essential for the project. And to tell you the truth, that is a never-ending process. We're still building ownership. And still we have some cynical looks when we talk about certain things. And that's, of course, perfectly fine because that is human nature. At the same time, we have to increase transparency and accountability. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but Bangladesh is considered not a very transparent country by Transparency International. It has the 134th country, has an increase. I mean, it has improved its position, but not much. The other challenge here was exactly because of what I mentioned at the beginning, addressing the culture of donor dependency, filling the donor gap. How do we find the means to fill in that dollar? That money. And the other is, and perhaps I'm going to get a lot of tomatoes thrown at me here, is the perception about charging for healthcare services. For many people, even though what you saw about the distribution of private and versus public healthcare services, for many people, charging for healthcare is immoral. But the truth is that people is charging for healthcare. That is what you find out there. So, there's always silver lining. So there are opportunities in this wonderful country. By the way, I forgot to mention something. In the last conversations about the strategic planning for the healthcare reform that Bangladesh is going through, I mean it's a plan for the next 5 to 10 years. For the first time, the planners are conceiving the possibility that Bangladesh might become a lower middle income country. So you see, things can happen before our eyes and during our lifetimes, which is fun. One thing here is that the most important opportunity is that Bangladesh has a vast segment of, has a large population. Bangladesh has pretty much half of the population of the U.S. and I think it's confined to Iowa, but half of it. People pay for healthcare services. There's a growing middle class. For the first time, it's being measured. Some people say it's 10%, others say that it's a little bit larger. 10% of 16 million inhabitants, which is already a full country. There's a growing interest in the business community in CSR interventions, and there's a great potential for partnerships. Well, the project ended up being like this. We have 323 clinics in 64 districts. Bangladesh has 64 districts. And they're run for 20 through 28 NGOs, and think of it as concentric circles. So at the center you have the static clinics, 323 of them, another ring of satellite sites, 8,600. And outermost ring of community service providers is the ASHA workers that work in rural areas. These women help us to reach, to bring healthcare services to those who do not come to the clinics for multiple reasons. An important element here is that we had to redefine what was the building block for the network. So we said we want to continue providing the services that we're providing, but only if we can integrate them in a way that makes sense for the client. So we are able to diagnose, let's say, diarrhea, and at the same time offer management and treatment of it through ORS and zinc, and prevent it, providing them with access, providing our clients with access to safe water methods and knowledge. So that is one way of defining this. So every service here is integrated in the way I just mentioned. We have three kinds of clinics, satellite, vital, and ultra. Everyone offers, built on the previous one. So from the less elaborate to the more elaborate. So you can find in the ultra facilities access to the full gamut of services in terms of safe delivery, for instance. They even have access to C-section. And here it is important that I make a clarification. Smiling Sun had to define how would tackle the issue of financial sustainability while reaching the poor. So these are the building blocks. Now, the process. First thing that it did is define the area of intervention. We said, okay, what is financial sustainability? Well, it's the ability of the organization or a unit to generate on its own through the consistent provision of quality services to generate resources that would directly or indirectly that would allow this unit to defray its operational expenses and operational and managerial expenses. So the idea was to work where the action happened, which is the clinic. So the idea was to transform the clinic into something that could become every unit to elevate its financial sustainability. So we work on the management area. We work on the client centered quality of care. We define quality. We define a quite elaborated system for quality improvement. Management systems, that was very important, and also to talk about creating a common image that they would own on their own. We believe then that by doing this and transforming the clinic physically and providing continuous capacity building, we would achieve certain sustainability determinants, not the sustainability. Remember, the way I define sustainability, or the way we define sustainability, implies that sustainability is an outcome. Okay? So if we get higher value perception, if we get more loyal clients, if we get increased access to the clinic and also more traffic, we are likely to be more sustainable. It was a process. We tried. We didn't know. I mean, we thought this is the way to do it. Let's try it. Let's test it if it works. So to make a long story short, we find a model. We test it. We had to fix it. We implemented again, we have to fix it, and still we're working on the model. But it's pretty much finalized. So we work in creating capacity, as I said before, quality systems. We have defined input, process, and output indicators. That was new. Before, we didn't have output indicators. Something important to mention here is that we had partnership with both the government of Bangladesh and the private sector. Why the private sector? Well, because those guys have the money. Those guys also need healthcare services. Today, two companies, H&M and Walmart, export $2 billion in garments from Bangladesh. Do you know how big is the aid that Bangladesh is getting from all of us in a year? $2 billion. So, and it represents 2% of the total economy. So we work on the brand. It was important to develop a common image. That is the smiling sun. It looks like a sun that is smiling. And that is these are the results. Well, we're able to increase the output of a couple years protection. safe deliveries, that was really important. Every time I hear that women do not want to go, no, when they have the facility nearby, they go for it. People is the same everywhere. When you have the chance to have better quality, people go for better quality. Why not? Every time they want to upgrade me, I am happy, even though I'm already accustomed to fly coach. So total services also went up, difficult because price adjustment, that was a little bit more difficult to move forward. Services to the poor, I wanted to show you this one. Today, 31% of the clients who come to Smiling Sun are poor. And at the same time, we have increased cost recovery. Not yet at the level we wanted, but very close. So lessons learned, quickly. Why franchise help? Centralized management for a multiple of owners, a lot of ownership here, was useful. Develop strategies at the clinic level was important, and creating a common identity was important. What needs attention? The past is important. New wine in old wineskins is always an issue. Some people can feel uncomfortable with the idea of sustainability. Set and share objectives. Here's two things that I came to a realization today that in the presentation that I attended before, setting objectives is really important. MGD4 is important. Well, setting objectives for sustainability was important. It created a common goal, and the way of doing it, people understood. So we were saying about that. Now, let's communicate, let's talk about it, let's continuously talk about it. And check results, it's important. Transparency is important, so thank you very much.
Thank you very much. It's time for questions and answers. Please stand up, say your name, and ask your question. You may direct the question to any of the speakers. Who would like to start? You want them to ask you questions? Okay. Yes, please. Go ahead. The question was where to start with public and private partnerships, where to get started. She's from a small NGO.
Yeah, we have a bunch of multinationals that want to be engaged in this kind of thing. We're working with them on their CSR. How do we find the NGOs who want to do the partnerships? So we've got the multinationals, but we don't have the other half.
Okay. Well, we started the other way around, if you allow me to answer. We had the NGOs, we didn't have the multinational companies, but we knew what we wanted. So we went to several multinationals. Some of them wanted to work with us, others didn't want. And we don't work with multinationals exclusively. We work with any private sector company, local or multinational, that is aligned with our health agenda. Period.
Thank you. One more question. Yes, Mercy.
Because we have been working in the policy field last 30 years, so it's like a lot of good relationships and all those things that really helps understanding the process and know the policymakers.
Never give up. Good. One more question. Please, Rose, go ahead.
Program, we do at the moment not get the out-of-school youth involved. That's sad, but it is as it is. But I would always prefer to do advocacy to get more children to schools and to do it that way around than to do the other way to reach these out-of-school, not try to get everybody to school. That would be my
and making the school a healthy place, an effective program offered to the parents attracts children to school and reduces dropout rates. So the program helps to bring kids into school and keep them into school.
Good.
I mean, I would even go that far to say that this approach, for example, would help also to come up with feeding programs where you say, okay, you use the same principles, but you install feeding programs. And feeding programs will bring children to school. Yeah, just a question: how to address the issues one after the other? So that should be tackled with a feeding program, I think.
Good. Thank you. One more question, please. There aren't any more questions? Yes, please, sir. Go ahead.
Yes. You mentioned the fairly high usage point of use water. In the UK, but do you have any statistics on impact on health, diarrhea, death?
No. It's unfortunately not. It was not the mandate of our project to measure impact on health. As you know, because you asked such a question, this will require an amazing effort to. Do a proper evaluation over a long period of time. And this project is a pure implementation project that did not address this. So the level and the limitation of our evaluation was in terms of behavior change. And literature says that people who wash their hands regularly at appropriate times during the day have such and such incidence of diarrhea between 28% and 49%, if I remember. Safe drinking water on a continuous use as well, but we did not go into measuring impact on diarrhea, no.
Good, well thank you very much. Please join me in thanking all our presenters. And I hope that you all start implementing school health programs and public and private partnerships, social marketing. Good luck.